This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. When a virus attacks a cell, a vital coenzyme called NAD may decline up to 80%. NAD is essential to defend the cell, to repair the cell, and to restore energy. True Niagen Pro, also known as nicotinamide riboside, can increase NAD. True Niagen Pro promotes cellular repair and energizes your cells. True Niagen Pro, cellular defense for life. For more information to purchase, go to drhoffman.com/trueniagenpro. That's true, T-R-U. drhoffman.com/trueniagenpro. You're listening to an encore broadcast, The Best of Intelligent Medicine, with me, Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, because we've got podcasts all through the week. But this is a live show. That means you can call us, 877-726-8255. You can come directly into the doctor's office on a weekend where it's hard. Yeah, you can go to an emergency room or an urgent care, but maybe you got a question to run by me. Today, here and now, 877-726-TALK is our number, and we got lots of stuff to share with you this weekend as we move into 2020. Have you got it down yet? Are you signing your checks and dating your correspondence 2020? Or are you reverting occasionally still to 2019? I think I got the hang of it, but only just barely. And many of us are attempting to lose weight as part of our New Year's resolution. All that Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's nonsense is behind us, all the parties and chow downs, and January is a month of rectitude, and a lot of people are embarking on healthy programs. We're going to help you along with that. But if you're on a diet and exercising and you just don't see the pounds melting off as they should, if you're having trouble losing weight this January, here's one of the potential roadblocks to weight loss. The Endocrine Society have something called the Stop Obesity Alliance. The Endocrine Society associated with metabolic and glandular and hormonal disorders. And they've just issued an alert recommending that clinicians should try to minimize the use of what are called obesogenic drugs. It may be that the medication you're taking is impeding your weight loss. And the stark statistic is that nearly 25% of U.S. adults take an obesogenic prescription drug. This is based on national U.S. data collected during 2013 to 2016. Among the American adults interviewed for the survey, 40% of those on at least one prescription medication were on at least one drug that is considered obesogenic. It turns out that steroids are obesogenic, and you may be taking a steroid medication for one or another inflammatory disorder, or perhaps you're getting steroid shots in your joints or steroid IVs for something like MS or ulcerative colitis. These are obesogenic. Also, very common medications for blood pressure include beta blockers, drugs like Inderal, or its generic name is propranolol. These impair the way that the nervous system sends signals to fat cells to cause them to burn fat. Also, antihistamines are obesogenic. And people who day in and day out take antihistamines are putting them at a putting themselves at a metabolic disadvantage. Also, certain antidepressants, not all, but the vast majority, can cause people to gain weight. That is the experience of many individuals who take SSRI medications. They, make you gain weight. Also, antipsychotic medications. Zyprexa, the subject of a big lawsuit and ultimately a very big penalty for the makers of Zyprexa because they market it willy-nilly for the treatment of mental disorders, especially in children and adolescents, and they didn't alert the patients, and they didn't even inform the clinicians that there was a huge potential for weight gain, metabolic syndrome, and diabetes with these antipsychotic medications. Also, anti-diabetic medications. Many of them make you gain weight, including insulin, and many people are on too much insulin. Insulin is something that promotes weight gain. And not that some people don't absolutely need insulin, but we can pare down insulin requirements by putting people on a lower carbohydrate diet and getting to exercise more. And certain contraceptives that contain synthetic progesterone may potentiate weight gain. Worst of all are the progesterone injections that some women receive because it's convenient. You just need a shot. You don't have to remember to take pills. One shot acts as the perfect contraceptive, but it makes you gain a lot of weight. The research was part of something called National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and Haynes. The findings show that 23% of adults had taken at least one drug that was considered obesogenic during the 30 days preceding the survey date. That's pretty scary. Strong link between obesogenic drug use and increased obesity severity as well. So these really make people gain weight. They say it's a bi-directional problem. It's a chicken and egg problem because the more you take these drugs, the more obese and sick you are, and the more drugs you'll get. I mean, say you have high blood pressure, you're using a beta blocker. The beta blocker makes you gain weight. And then they up the dose of the beta blocker, which further impacts your metabolism. Clearly, there is a relationship between the use of certain drugs and overweight, and it's a growing problem. 877-726-8255 is our number. And I wanted to weigh in on this story. U.S. alcohol-related deaths have doubled, according to a study. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the toll associated with opiates, but actually, researchers have found that alcohol-related deaths surpass the number of deaths attributed to opiate use, prescription opiates flooding the country, and their legal use or their illegal use is associated with lots of deaths. Death certificates spanning 2017 indicate nearly 73,000 people died in the U.S. because of liver disease and other alcohol-related illnesses, and that is even higher than the death toll of 70,000 associated with drug overdose. So, what's the solution? Prohibition? Well, and what's the reason for this? Why should there be an increase in alcohol-related deaths? Well, I'm going to share my opinion on this, is that we've made alcohol use ever more acceptable, and partly this is due to industry-funded studies that show that drinking is heart healthy, that, you know, having a glass of wine or two or three is good for your heart. Well, that may be the case for disciplined individuals who drink reasonably, but it opens the floodgates for people who think, yeah, the more I drink, the better off I'll be, and it's okay for me. Recent studies have suggested the opposite, that even relatively small amounts of alcohol increase the risk for certain heart problems. Cardiac arrhythmias, big-time relationship with alcohol consumption. We used to call it holiday heart. We dreaded being in the emergency room on the 4th of July or on New Year's Day when individuals drink too much and come in with cardiac arrhythmias. It was a sure thing that binge drinking would cause their hearts to palpitate. But also, there's been a trend among kids to binge drink. And when it comes to that trend, women are big time in on that trend. You've come a long way, baby, when it comes to alcohol consumption. Teenage and women in their 20s are binge drinking as never before to keep up with their male colleagues in high school and college. And young professionals are drinking a lot these days. And the net effect is that alcohol has proved to be even more deadly than illicit drugs, including opioids. And that's a discouraging trend. And in particular, when individuals are taking medication and then they're using alcohol in conjunction with medication, that can result in serious problems because the medications impair the liver's ability to detox the alcohol, and the alcohol has an even more pronounced effect. And this is notwithstanding a trend for reduced highway deaths due to drunk driving. More and more people are afraid to get in their cars because they'll have their cars taken away if they get a DUI. So they call an Uber or they get a designated driver. And so there are fewer people dying of alcohol-related motor vehicle accidents. But nonetheless, 70% of the population age 18 and older consumed alcohol in 2017. They averaged approximately 3.6 gallons of pure alcohol per drinker. That's the pure alcohol part. And while the overall prevalence of drinking and binge drinking did not change for men, there was a 10% increase in the prevalence of drinking and a 23% increase in binge drinking among women. And interestingly, increases in consumption were larger for people aged 50 and older relative to younger age groups. More and more older Americans are drinking a lot, and that's not good for the health of this country. 877-726-8255 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and it's January, so whenever it's beginning of the year, it's always diet time. And what's the big diet du jour this January? Why, it's the IF diet, intermittent fasting, or a variation thereof, which is TRF, time-restricted feeding. And last week I shared with you some of the highlights of an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, of all places, which was about the effects of intermittent fasting on health, aging, and disease. It's a landmark article for a mainstream medical journal, written by a guy named Mark Mattson, who's a PhD at Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York. And apparently there's a team of people at Mount Sinai who are working on studying the benefits of intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting means, fasting every other day, or going very low-cal 2 days a week. We call that the 5-2 diet, or time-restricted feeding, which means don't eat before noon and stop eating at 6 or 7 p.m. And you have a long period of fasting. It's the natural period that, it's kind of like when the lights went out. People generally stop eating. In the olden days, now we've got electric lights and we got fast food places, and snacking and eating out are extremely popular. This article is about yet another study published in a journal called Cell. Mount Sinai researchers found that fasting reduces inflammation and improves chronic inflammatory diseases without impairing the immune system's response to acute infections. This is very cool because a lot of the medications that are now used for inflammatory disorders, MS, for example, multiple sclerosis, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, if you look at the commercials, you see that the side effects are numerous, and they have to do with the potential for developing life-threatening infections that are very unusual because the immune system is knocked down. But if you do intermittent fasting or time-restricted feeding, it can reduce the inflammation without impairing your own immune system's response that is necessary for fending off viruses and bacteria. Researchers at Mount Sinai found that intermittent fasting reduced the release of pro-inflammatory cells called monocytes in the blood circulation. And during periods of fasting, these cells go into, quote, sleep mode and are less inflammatory than monocytes found in those who were fed. So their conclusion is that considering the broad spectrum of diseases that are caused by chronic inflammation and the increasing number of patients affected by these diseases, there's an enormous potential in investigating the anti-inflammatory effects of fasting or time-restricted feeding. It's very cool. I mean, it incorporates some of the benefits of ketogenic diet. Ketogenic diet also shuts down some of the metabolic pathways that promote inflammation, also help to resensitize the body to insulin, helping to reduce metabolic syndrome. So there you have it. Some pretty exciting information about a diet that I think is going to make a big splash in 2020. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255. That's our number. And when we return, we're going to take a look at an interesting story. While there may be global warming, human body temperature in the U.S. has decreased significantly over time, according to a new study. This is Intelligent Medicine. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. And global temperatures may be increasing, but a new study suggests that human body temperatures may actually be on the wane. We'll take a look at that in just a moment, but 877-726-8255 gets you through to me live on today's broadcast, but also that number is available 24/7, and you can record a question, as did this caller. Let's hear it.
Hi, I have a question about non-alcoholic liver fibrosis. Wondering about the best way to go about not only losing weight, changing your diet, but what kinds of supplements would you recommend that would work best for helping to heal the cells of your liver?
Okay, that is a great question. Such a prevalent problem. NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. You know, in the old days, the main causes of liver failure were, of course, hepatitis, and there was hepatitis B and hepatitis C, and now they're coming up with treatments for that. So these are waning as causes of liver failure and the need for liver transplantation. Of course, there's always been alcoholism, and I talked earlier about the toll that alcohol still causes, primarily through liver disease, but also through other medical conditions. But the main cause of chronic liver problems in this country is diet. I mean, yeah, certain medications, environmental toxins can affect the liver. That's part of the equation. But our diet, which consists of too much food, too much refined food, too much in the way of carbohydrates, this affects the liver. And it turns out that fructose, which is the type of sugar that we use in candy, and especially in soft drinks, is particularly bad for the liver. The sugar gets converted to fat, which is deposited within the liver. It creates sort of a marbled appearance with yellow streaks within the liver. Pretty soon there's inflammation and damage and fibrosis, and then that can lead to cirrhosis, which is actually destruction of the liver cells. It takes a lot to knock out a liver because the liver has a great potential for regeneration. But if that process continues, you can have liver failure and require a liver transplant. So how do you deal with it? Well, first of all, you deal with diet, and you want to consume less calories, but in particular, less carbohydrate calories. There are even some studies that show that a ketogenic diet, which is fairly high in fat, can be helpful for chronic liver inflammation and reduces the susceptibility to NASH, non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. So in terms of supplements, what are some of my favorite supplements? So there's actually good evidence that vitamin E can be helpful here. Also, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which helps to support the production of glutathione within the liver, which is one of the major detoxifiers and anti-inflammatory compounds within the liver. Also, alpha-lipoic acid has a great potential for even dealing with extreme forms of liver toxicity. NAC, by the way, is the antidote to Tylenol toxicity, which kills you by causing liver failure. So it's standard medical practice to give NAC to people who've overdosed on Tylenol. And then there's certain herbs which are helpful. Milk thistle is particularly protective for the liver. Vitamin C may play a role here. Green tea, but not to excess. can be helpful. Green tea, actually, is kind of a two-edged sword. It may protect the liver at lower doses, but highly concentrated supplements of green tea may be contraindicated in people who already have existing liver disease. Also, choline is helpful, and you can take phosphatidylcholine. That's extremely helpful for protecting the liver. The B vitamins may also be protective. B12, folic acid, and B6 in particular can be part of what helps to protect the liver. So there you have it. I mean, there are other supplements which are on that list. Be careful about high-dose vitamin A. That can be problematic for people with liver disease. High-dose niacin can also be problematic, but you know, the amount that you find in an ordinary multi is not going to create great big problems. But just, you know, if you take 2 or 3 grams of niacin in an effort to lower your cholesterol while you have liver disease, that could create more problems. So check, you know, the medications you're on. Check them for the possibility of liver toxicity. Don't take a lot of Tylenol, please, because Tylenol worsens liver toxicity, puts a burden on the liver. These are some of the considerations when you're dealing with NASH. And it's very, very, it's eminently reversible. It's one of my favorite things to treat. If I had a dozen patients with NASH coming to see me every week, I'd be a happy camper, because it's, the results are so astonishing. 877-726-8255. Thanks for that question. If you're suffering from frequent fatigue, well, I got a suggestion for you. I've been talking about it for years. The only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age or illness or just being run down, it's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. You heard me talk about it. NT Factor works on the mitochondria. And clinical trials have verified that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. And it's available in ProPax, which is your one-stop shop for all your vitamin mineral needs, along with fish oil. But if you want to keep your favorite multi and or fish oil and yet still harness the power of NT Factor, now there's Healthy Aging, the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. Now, with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Please note that even though they're no longer shipping to Vitamin Shop, you can still find ProPax and Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or to order direct, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. All right, this item, you know, while people are talking about global warming, there's an interesting phenomenon. What's the ideal normal body temperature? Okay, you're gonna, you know, everybody's gonna answer it. It's a Jeopardy question. 98.6. Right? Wrong. According to a new study. What's happening is we're experiencing body cooling. According to researchers, the origins of this 98.6 go back to 1851, when a German physician named Karl Reinhold August Wunderlich, it's got a lot of names, Dr. Wunderlich declared that the standard human body temperature was 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's, you know, gone down in history as the way it should be. But things have changed since the 19th century, according to a new study conducted at Stanford University. And so you may say, well, they didn't have such good thermometers then. We have more exact thermometers now. But they actually figured that in to this study. They looked at the variance in temperatures achieved by instruments that are less precise than our modern instruments. And they factored that in, and they found that in the 2000s, men, on average, have a body temperature that's 1.06 degrees lower than men born in the early 1800s. Women have average body temperatures that are 0.58 degrees lower than women born in the 1890s. So
something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear, to paraphrase the song. Could it be due to changes in diet? Could it be due to changes in lifestyle? Could it be due to the pervasive environmental toxins that slow our metabolism, endocrine disruptors that affect such essential glands as the thyroid, which is responsible for, in large part, for body temperature? What's going on here? But it also points in the direction of a tendency for basal metabolism to be slowing in individuals. The higher your body temperature, the more calories you're burning. And the lower your body temperature, the more likely is that you're in conservation mode. And so, while it's not merely an indication of whether you should be taking thyroid medication, I think that's an oversimplification, something is happening here where normal temperature, average temperature, is decreasing. It could also be partly because less people have chronic infections. We deal better with infections via sanitation and via antibiotics and anti-inflammatory drugs in 2020 than in 1850. And maybe a lot of people were walking around with bugs of some kind that was raising their body temperature. That's part of the equation. But so, you know, and this is something that bothers me a lot is, you know, sometimes I'm not feeling well, I check my temperature, and it's like 97.8. And I go, what's wrong with this thermometer? It's supposed to be 98.6. I'm not even feeling good, and it's not accurately reflecting my temperature. No, I don't have a fever, but at least it should reflect my normal body temperature of 98.6. Have you had that happen to you? Well, it's not, you know, and then I you know, when I use an oral thermometer, I suck down on it harder and keep it in my mouth longer. Or if I'm doing an underarm thermometer, I clutch it desperately under my arm to see if I can get that body temperature up to 98.6. Can't do it. Turns out that the norm for men is closer to 97.6. The norm for women, 98. Yeah, women are hotter than men in general. Something to factor in when you're checking your temperature or that of your kids. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 for Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels, since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed. Maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. This hour next for questions related to Intelligent Medicine. You know, it's been a rough news week
you know, between the war drums and the impeachment, we've been sort of whipsawed back and forth with headlines and alerts, and a lot of people glued to the TV, biting their nails, you know, getting really bent out of shape by national and world events. And I'm sitting here with a brand new review copy of a book, great book, by one of my frequent Intelligent Medicine podcast guests, Dr. David Perlmutter, known to many of you as the author of Grain Brain, a revolutionary book about the effects of diet, in particular gluten and carbohydrates, on the brain. He's a neurologist. His concern is with forestalling neurodegenerative disease, and he's got a new book entitled Brainwash, Detox Your Mind for Clearer Thinking, Deeper Relationships, and Lasting Happiness. And I'll share a little excerpt with you that I think is apropos. Breaking news breaks the brain. And I'm quoting here, some of us like to prepare for the day by informing ourselves of world events. 95% of Americans say they follow the news, and 85% of us check the news at least once a day. News is increasing stress and stimulating fight or flight, speaking directly to the amygdala and drawing attention away from the prefrontal cortex. Whether it's the unnerving breaking news headlines or the word alert constantly flashing on the bottom of the television screen, the nature of news delivery today breeds fear and anxiety and perpetuates a state of chronic stress. It's not as though we're getting reliable information out of our news exposure, since only 22% of us trust our local news a lot. This number shrinks to 18% for national news organizations, but among American adults relying on social media for news, only 4% trust the information they receive. In addition, we have little faith in a nonpartisan news system. 74% of us believe the news media is slanted towards one particular political party. 72% of us feel that the news blows things out of proportion. Given that we seem to view the news as one-sided and untrustworthy, maybe it's time to take the remote away from your stress-loving amygdala. What happens when we start to view the world through the lens of chronic stress and fear and lose the rational, cool-headed prefrontal cortex? We see things in an unnecessarily negative way. Though we live in a time of relative peace and economic stability, with lower rates of extreme poverty and higher rates of democracy around the world than ever before, in 2017, more Americans than ever believed life was worse than it was 50 years earlier, during the heart of the Vietnam War. Crime rates in the United States fell from the 1990s to 2000s. Despite this, many believed the opposite. Of those who felt crime was increasing, the top reasons cited for this belief were television, the newspapers. One poll about the causes of American stressors showed that among those reporting, quote, a great deal of stress, 40% cited news as a causative factor. Only 15 minutes of exposure to news was enough to increase symptoms of anxiety in college students, and this relates directly to neuroplasticity. The more we dwell on negativity, the more our brains become primed for pessimism, and as such, the more we're inclined to view the world around us in a negative light. Through neuroplasticity, the more you experience negativity, the more negative you become. These are experts from Brainwash, the new book by Dr. David Perlmutter, MD, and his son, Austin Perlmutter, MD. Detox Your Mind for Clearer Thinking, Deeper Relationships, and Lasting Happiness. Great book. And we'll talk to him, you know, he's a frequent contributor. We'll talk to him more on this program. All right, it's football season, basketball season, hockey season, but those of us who are baseball fans, we're bereft because there's no baseball. One of the big problems for us New Yorkers who are Yankee fans last year is that inexplicably there were a tremendous number of injuries among our players. What's up with that? Well, according to news sources in the sports media, the Yankees have made sweeping changes to training staff after record-setting season of injuries. And there's something to it because, you know, I asked myself throughout the season, I said, why are there so many injuries? Why are there so many players out? Are they doing something wrong with their strength training and conditioning regimen? And, you know, there's got to be some accountability. There's, look, you see a sports team and there are scores, if not hundreds of people who are behind the scenes, who facilitate the performance of the athletes who take the field. And among them are acupuncturists, chiropractors, physical therapists, massage therapists, doctors, a whole phalanx of health nutritionists as well, a whole phalanx of individuals who help to keep the athletes in peak performance mode. And they say that the Yankees will make significant changes to their strength and conditioning and training staff rosters for 2020, following a year in which they set a record. They set a record for most injured players in a single season. Their injuries began in spring training and ran the course of the season, many of which appeared to be aggravations of prior injuries. Their general manager, Brian Cashman, dubbed the inquiry into their injury issues as CSI the Bronx. So they're going to, they've hired a new performance coach, Eric Cressy, to oversee their training and strength and conditioning departments. And a whole lot of changes. And hey, I'll sign up as the team nutritionist. There's got to be something that's going to keep those players more fit so that they can make a playoff and pennant and World Series run. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions. We'll be right back.